Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hey everyone, Ben here with a quick update on today's episode. I just wanted to give you a heads up that about halfway through the first segment, the guys had some technical issues, and there's a drop-off in audio quality. You can still understand the conversation, but you'll notice that it's not up to our usual standards. We're sorry about this issue, but hopefully you'll enjoy the conversation, and we'll see you next week.
Nashville SC secures a last-minute 1-0 win over Birmingham Legion and qualifies for the playoffs. This week, they take on Pittsburgh Riverhounds in what could be a battle for a home playoff game. We talk about this and more on Speedway Soccer. Hey everybody, welcome into this episode of Speedway Soccer Pod. We are broadcasting live from Alley Taps on Historic Printers Alley, and as always, are proud to be part of the Waller Room, and we finally have Sloop back on a podcast.
It's been a while.
For the first time in a long time. We had a midweek game, and it was a bit of fairly even match, followed by a lot of excitement right there at the end. Justin Davis puts in a cross, and Jimmy Oxford gets on the end of it, and in the end ends up an own goal, but Nashville comes out of there with a 1-0 win right in the stoppage time.
Yeah, Slate, we were just talking about this beforehand. Can you talk about it being an own goal? That I haven't seen any view where it looked to me like the ball was going to go in. You told me otherwise.
There's an angle from the other side, like where that actual like deflection happens at, wherever Oxford hits it, and it hits one of the defender's like shin or legs or whatever and deflects back in. Right. It's very, very, very slight, but I mean, you could make the case for an own goal for it. I mean, I'm still think they're going to probably count it as Oxford's goal, but
really, they officially called it as an own goal. I think it was Ward. Okay. It was officially credited with the own goal. I know on the night they credited it to Oxford, but then after they went back and looked at it, it's officially, it went down as an own goal.
Okay.
But most importantly,
it doesn't matter because it's 3 points, no matter
what. It's 3 points, I know. Yeah. But sometimes I'm interested in how
sure, I completely understand as well, too. And the dynamic for like an own goal can kind of be like, best judgment and stuff like that. But in the end, though, he rose up well, he headed it down, and it just deflected in on the right time. And, it was just one of those things. We were worried, too, and Slate caught it, when the lineups were released, Slate said this has nothing written all over it. And for 90 minutes, it really was about to, if we felt like it was going to be that. So.
I know.
When the lineup came out, we saw in the injury report leading up on the week, we saw the couple of days before, we saw that Lebo was out with a concussion. Mm-hmm. Rios was listed as finally off the injury report. The same for
coming off an injury.
Derek Jones. When that lineup came out, it really showed like with no Lebo there to create. It was just one of those games that I kind of felt that it was a good chance that we were going to kind of struggle to create chances. LaGrassa does a pretty good job throughout the game. A lot of the chances he's creating are like by winning those second balls.
Sure.
And pressing and trying to, quick counter. But I think when I looked at the lineup leading up to it, I just felt like it had a chance.
Well, I believe that was also Rupapa's first time all year being like the only holding forward as well, too. Because usually when he plays up top, he's got like a Lancaster or Rios, but this time he was all by himself up there and asked to hold the ball up. He did it well at times, but other times you could just tell that like the ball got away from him and whatnot. But no slight to him because he still played fairly well. It's just he's kind of out of position right there.
Yeah, I really like Mensa on the wing.
Yeah,
I think a lot his speed and size creates a bit of a mismatch for players. And with him through the middle, I just don't think he has the hold-up play that that Rios does. But Nashville was able to create some chances at different points through the game. I think the keeper had to make a couple saves early on, but I just felt that, you know, as the game was going on and, you know, as it kept ticking closer to zero, that a draw was really going to be
inevitable.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that we have to give credit a little bit to Nashville's center back pairing, who've been rock solid all year, but I think that this is the best game that those two played all year. I think that they were commanding in the middle. My brother even texted me. He said he lives in Birmingham, and he said, y'all got some big boys up there, back there in center back. And so I think it's
credit to Nashville's back line, Lasso and Ockford, who have been rock solid in the back. But I really do think that this is their best game as a pair. They're just bosses in the backfield. They commanded the penalty box. My brother texted me. He lives in Birmingham. And he was like, y'all got some big boys back there in the on the center backs. And I was like, yeah, they're rock solid. And so I think that they're the reason that it was stayed nothing for a long time, and also because of the fact that, you know, Pickens pretty much didn't have anything to do back there, but the only reason he didn't have anything to do is because those two played so well. So I think that, you know, you have to give credit where credit's due for those two guys.
Yeah, and I think it would be remiss if we didn't give Pickens credit. He picked up his 100th clean sheet. For you know, his career.
That's,
I think,
a rarity.
And I think a stat, like, maybe there's only two other active American goalkeepers that have 100 shutouts, which is pretty good. I was talking to Sloot before the game when Lasso came out there They're doing the captains. He is, like, I mean, we talk about this a couple times, but, like, he's so big.
Yeah.
And especially with Mikey Lopez being the captain for Birmingham, it is a very clear size disparity there.
Right.
I think a lot of the defense played well. I mean, I think King did a really good job being able to provide some space and, you know, get wide and push up the field there. And then, you know, we did see Nashville move into a 3-5-2 when, you know, we saw Washington come on in the 64th minute.
Also, on the other side, Justin Davis played an outstanding game. He had 4 tackles, but he also was great on his set-piece delivery. And I've been critical of him for a while about his set pieces, maybe not publicly on the podcast, but definitely, like, within our chat. I've been asking, you know, why is Justin Davis taking all these set pieces? Usually sometimes they go awry, but those, all of the ones that he took, were really spot on.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a this is a little bit shifting gears, but I was thinking while Slate was talking about some of the different players, what a difference. You add some really higher-level players, and this is not to disparage any players that we've had before, and it really does up everyone's game. This team, I was just thinking about last season, even earlier this season, we look like a different team out there. Yeah. We really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even with the injuries that we do have at the time, having, like, our attacking options look good. I think probably the only really concern right now for the rest of the season is midfield. But if Derek Jones can potentially get out there on Saturday, which Gary has talked about him being a little bit closer, and then he did say he expects to see Maloto back out there.
Sure.
So I think between having those two more options in the center really gives us a situation where we have some options and ways that we can change the game in different aspects.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is that this game, like you had said before, had draw written over it, and the fact that Nashville came away with 3 points in a game that they were supposed to draw in, you know, really tells the testament, or it's a testament to this team's character, especially with the injuries that they had with all the attacking players as well, too. So to come away with 3 points without, like, you know, their best attacking options, because, yeah, Rios came in, but I don't think he had enough time to really, you know, settle, be his normal self. He completed 75% of his passes, but he still didn't register a shot on goal, I believe. So, really good result for them to knock off a team that's in playoff position right now with all their the attacking being limited in the attack.
It's true, though. I think I said this to you guys earlier, and I'm a fan, so I don't know what it's like to be a player. But right now, I'm to the point where I expect this team to go out and win. I mean, I really, truly expect it. I was a little bit weirded out the other night when I didn't look like we were going to, because they seem to cohere quite well there. Now I want to make a confession and have you guys help me out with this. I'm embarrassed to say I had to leave the game early.
Oh, no. The sleeps confession corner.
Not as early as some of our friends have before in the past, but I had to leave early that night. Can you set up the mood going into the 90th minute?
Well, I think it was just very, and I think you can speak on this as well, too. It just seemed very lethargic in there. We just, like, they were shrugged shoulders. They were just like, here we go. We're not going to be able to get a point away from this. And I'm sure you felt the same way as well, too.
Yeah, I think there'd been a corner a few minutes prior that we just didn't do a whole lot with. There was definitely some, like, resignation and, you know, we're right now kind of fighting for a top four spot, which gets us a home playoff game. So there was definitely some like, this is going to be a draw. This is like a missed opportunity. But I will say I've kind of felt the crowd like in those last like 3 minutes, like right before
they rallied them.
They definitely you know stepped it up a notch. It was a quieter crowd. I think for the majority of the game, like a little smaller, with it being a weeknight. But I think you know those last few minutes, the crowd really got on their feet, and I think it always helps. It right there at the end, you know, be attacking the end where the supporter section was, which is
right.
And this is the second home game in a row we've seen a late winner. Against Charleston, we saw the Akinyede winner. So it's something this team has a knack for.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I mean, as long as the 3 points are there, but it definitely makes for good drama and for good theater as well, too. So, you know.
So any final?
Oh, wait, I just want to say I'd rather have 5 goals in the first half.
Well, sure, but you know the anticipation and the anxiety is there, and maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing from like a neutral perspective for someone
that's
thinking about being a fan of soccer, and they're like,
that's the way it is.
Yep, it's true.
I mean, we do know that this was a game that just like hit all of Davies' buttons. Defensive, one goal. Nashville coming out on top, so really hitting all the buttons for Davies.
He was out of town, too.
Any more final thoughts?
Not that I can think of. I think we covered all the bases on this one, and I think it was just, you know, it's a good result for Nashville as well. Like I said, you know, despite the fact they were missing some of their attacking players.
All right, so yeah, right after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk some of the results around the league and how they kind of affect Nashville, and then preview the game against Pittsburgh on Saturday.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an Art Collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up. Hey everybody, welcome back. Before we talk about the game of this Saturday against Pittsburgh, want to take a quick moment to kind of talk about playoffs and where Nashville kind of sits. Nashville did wrap up we are guaranteed a playoff position. Don't know where that is. Andy, if you want to kind of talk through yesterday.
Nashville locked up the X. They have the X next to their name for the remainder of the season. So yesterday, 3 big results that pretty much guaranteed Nashville's in the playoffs. Ottawa beats Tampa Bay 1-0. Atlanta United 2 beats Charleston 3-1. And St. Louis beat Red Bulls 2-0. So it seems like yesterday, we were talking about it in the chat, we were like, one of these, the first game fell through. And we were like, wow, that's a great result for Nashville. And then it just seemed like the scores kept falling into Nashville's way. And by the end of the night, you know, they locked up a playoff position. They didn't even have to do anything as well, too. So it's just really fortuitous, but I mean, you know, it can only do, it's outside things, and you can only control so much as well. So
yeah, really what I'm looking at is I think for me it's most important to get a home playoff game. I think that's a really great way to leading into MLS is to, you know, have those home playoff games and, you know, to see that Tampa Bay dropping points who before last night had a game in hand on us, and then to see Red Bulls drop in a game against St. Louis definitely helps us out as well. Now,
the top four right now, it's New York, Indy, Nashville, and then Tampa Bay. New York, Nashville, and Tampa Bay have 29 games, and Indy still has two games, you know, behind them and whatnot. So there's still an opportunity for Indy to creep up the table and possibly win as well, too. But, you know, Nashville definitely has – if they play the way they're supposed to play, you know, I don't see a reason why they can't have a home playoff spot.
We should. It's funny, though. It's because the top is so tight and because there's varying – I mean, the numbers are starting to even out a little bit now, games play. But it's still, we'll have great results, then I'll go look at the table like everyone else, start doing table watching, and I sort of freak out. Because like a lot of fans, I think of the worst things that could happen, right?
I mean, I think the biggest result last night was the Tampa Bay one, because now it puts Tampa, having played the same number of games, and also being 1 point behind us, I think tomorrow, looking at Saturday, I think if we go in and, you know, pick up that win against Pittsburgh, who right now have played one game less than us, that opens up a bit more of a gap, and it could come down to, you know, Pittsburgh and Tampa for that last home playoff game.
Yeah, and only 5 points separate 1 through 5 right now, so it's super tight. Yeah. Plus, Indy has two games in hand, and so does Pittsburgh have two games in hand. So yeah,
that's
a lot can
happen. Oh, boy, that's 6 points potentially. Yeah. It's something.
So, I mean, there is – no, we know Pittsburgh and Indy do have to play each other,
sure.
I think, next week. I mean, so a draw there would be absolutely perfect. But, you know, looking forward to Saturday. So this Saturday, Nashville's home again against Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Earlier this year, I think probably the most disappointing game that I remember – especially where Nashville's up 2-0,
yep.
I think with, you know, less than 10 minutes to go and end up, you know, coming out of there with a 2-2 draw. And I think since then, Nashville's been really, really strong defensively. We haven't given up those late goals. But, I mean, Pittsburgh has played well. They've scored a whole lot more goals than they did last year. Much like Nashville, I think they've scored only like one or two less. And defense is still pretty good. I think there was a couple games where they got beat pretty badly, but I mean, a Bob Lilly team, while not as strong as he has been in years past, is still
can be a threat as too, because Morton has clean sheets on the year right now. They have 12 in total, 12 clean sheets on the year
but
right
you've
now.
You've got to feel, though, if we take 3 points from this game, we're just going to be in great shape.
We'll be in great, fantastic shape.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we get the 3 points, I think, like I said earlier, that puts us in a really good position for getting a home playoff game. But, I mean, Pittsburgh's still not a team that, I mean, we've never beaten them at home, which, granted, was at Nissan. It was our first game of the season. Mm-hmm. But I think both Nashville and Pittsburgh are in great runs of form.
Mm-hmm.
They won their last game against, I believe it was Loudoun, or... But they are coming in with, you know, Nico Brett, his 10 goals on the season, who's not too far behind Rios, who would be much further along.
They beat Charleston in their last.
Charleston was in their last
game, 1-0. And they're on they're 3-5-1 or 3-1-1 in their last 5 matches right now. So they're playing pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, any other thoughts looking forward to Saturday?
I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think Nashville should have the edge in this one, but again, you never know.
Now, this is not a question about the game necessarily, but is this fan-friendly beer pricing? Is this permanent? Or was that a one night?
No, it's for the rest of September. September,
great.
Which I mean,
you can drink all the Miller Lite you want.
No, sir. No, sir.
Which I mean, I think $5 draft beer, $2 sodas
is a
great deal. I think. You know, it's going to be Saturday night. Hopefully, the place is rocking. I think as we kind of go down the stretch right here to playoffs, it's, you know, if you haven't been out to a game yet or haven't been out in a couple weeks, make sure to get down there on Sunday or Saturday. I don't want to keep saying Sunday. So wrapping everything up, Sloop, what do you have for this week?
I'm not want to talk about my column for next week. The one I wrote this week was that interview with Rick Williams. It was really nice of him to chat with me once again about Save Our Fairgrounds and what he thinks is going to happen there. Let's see. Are there any other pieces coming out written?
Well, up player ratings that Sunday, the day after the Nashville SC versus Pittsburgh game. And of course, a full game recap. I'm sure someone will have been on, might probably have his chalkboard up as well, too, for the Pittsburgh game.
Then I'll have preview out tomorrow, as well as after this weekend, we'll have another one of our player roundups. Leal has a chance to play twice. He plays tonight and then again on Saturday night. Mukhtar's in action this weekend as well, and then as long as
it's sort of fun keeping up with these guys.
Sure,
I haven't really had much of an experience doing this before. When you know this far in advance,
And I've really enjoyed how accessible the Danish league has been.
Yeah.
I will say, as I'm trying to write these pieces on Saprissa, finding out even articles in Spanish, like game recaps, have been very difficult.
I love the other day when you were telling us, well, here's what I found out. He played for 90 minutes.
So if anybody has any information on where to find all this info, shoot that my way. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Thank you all for listening. As always, proud to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network and the Beautiful Game Network, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. We'll be back beginning of next week with a breakdown of the Pittsburgh game.
Never go full Shepherd. Nope.